Cappers. Good morning. How you doing?
Charlie's here with you. It is November 21st. Happy Friday for some of you, or most of you. For those who have to go back to work the day after Thanksgiving, I'm sorry. I feel bad. We are going to have a weekend watch list for you. So that's why I didn't do the weekend watch list today. I also thought it was weird. There's so many games that I'd have to do if we were doing a weekend watch list today. So I'm saving it for Friday. We'll have it. I'm going to probably tape it Thanksgiving night. Actually, the lady's out of the area. She's going to be shopping with her parents in the morning. So I'm home alone. So I'm going to probably fire up the podcast machine, get it going for y'all. So yeah, looking forward to that. We will talk weekend watch list, part of Merce Fantasy, and today we are going to chat about the Packers and Vikings, maybe a little bit on Giannis and Jason Kidd, and that'll be about it. We'll go kind of more in depth on Packers and Vikings like we would with the Tapping the Keg episode. Tomorrow I may squeeze a podcast, and I know not a lot of people will be listening, but if you're like in the car and you need it, I would love to provide your soundtrack for your trip to your parents, trip to your grandparents, and hopefully you can introduce some new people to the podcast. And you're listening to it, and you're like, what's that? It's like, oh, this is Charlie. He does a Wisconsin sports podcast. That's great. It's under 20 minutes. It's better than anything you'll hear on talk radio. It gives you that fresh voice. Maybe not anything better, because I respect people on sports radio, but I will say it is a fresh voice. It's a fresh take on different things. So let's waste no more time. So yeah, that's optional, but let's waste no more time. We're going to talk about the Packers and Vikings. So Packers and Vikings are one of the best rivalries that ever exists. I mean, it is a top-notch NFL rivalry. I don't know if in the league it is considered that way. I don't know if because their teams are in the upper Midwest. I know the Packers are very public. The Vikings, too, have a public demeanor about them. They are found themselves, you know, in the news, and they've definitely been in the playoff contention, and that has been a part of the Vikings. That said, I don't think some people realize how much these fan bases really do hate each other. Like, this is a vengeful rivalry, a hateful rivalry, and a part of the reason about what makes the Packers and Vikings rivalry so great is the fact that it is even. These two teams, I think the Vikings might have a game advantage, or the career series is absolutely tied. It's either or. And that's incredible, right? It's incredible that the Vikings hadn't swept the Packers since early 90s when they did last year. The Packers did have a little bit of a enforce of will against the Vikings when Leslie Frazier was in town, and Brett, even at the tail end of Brad Childress. But when Mike Zimmer got to town, everything changed, and it became, not only did it become the Packers' biggest rival, but it became their toughest rival. Aaron Rodgers has had some real troubles against Mike Zimmer in the past. And we'll start with the offense. So Packer offense has a variety of questions. They are, I would say, under kind of a big microscope, but they're definitely under a microscope. Mostly the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy issues. I'm sure Sunday Night Football, I'm sure our boys, Al and Chris, will talk about that and discuss it. So it'll be really interesting to see what the first 15 plays look like, and then what the rest of the game looks like. So could we tell if Rodgers is calling his own plays? Could we tell if the Packers are doing enough to sort of avoid that Viking pass rush? I think it's really imperative that the Packers get to that short passing game, using Aaron Jones out of the backfield, using a guy like Lance Kendricks or Mercedes Lewis, using your wide receivers in the flats and in the slants and the in routes. Like, they're no long developing plays are Mike McCarthy stable. I know they're going to have long developing plays with this team, but the Vikings are such a good pass rush, and especially at home, they play at just a different level at US Bank Stadium. There are stats to prove that. They don't really lose here often, and they've already lost twice this year, which is interesting, to Buffalo and New Orleans. So if Packers do beat them, that'll be the third time that they've lost at US Bank Stadium.
So, but that pass rush, man, it gets going. So you can't necessarily have these long developing plays for the Packers. Like, you just can't. That it needs to be something you sort of nip in the bud, and you need to kind of lessen it. I also think going no huddle makes a ton of sense. It seemed like, and this is a concept that Justice Muscato pointed this out, that Mark Helfrich may have grabbed from Scott Frost, who does it at UFC, or did it at UCF. And Scott Frost, basically, if after second down, you'd get in a no huddle for third down to let teams, not allow teams to get into their blitz packages. Mike Zimmer calls very intricate blitzes, and the packages are sometimes 15 words long. So the Packers can avoid, kind of frustrate Zimmer and make sure that he can't call some of those intricate blitzes, makes a lot of sense. And adding a no huddle element for the Packers would be really something else. Like, that to me would be a change where you're like, okay, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers have talked a little bit, and maybe it's on a better pathway. Going back to the pass rush, the offensive line has to be better. Well, I'm a big David Bakhtiari guy. I think David Bakhtiari has struggled a little bit on the last couple weeks. I feel like I know Pro Football Focus has rated him like the second best tackle. I just think he hasn't set he hasn't really, you know, there's been a little too much blindside pressure for my liking. Maybe it's because there's so much increased pressure on the right side. Byron Bell is one of the worst offensive linemen that the Packers have ever had. I mean, he's in that Marshall Newhouse category. Like, he definitely is he's in the Marshall Newhouse wing of bad offensive linemen for the Green Bay Packers. That's where Byron Bell sits. So that worries me a little bit. From a run game perspective, you know, the Vikings are one of the best teams against the run. So Aaron Jones is, you know, Evan Silva of RotoWorld loves to say, fade on matchup, bet on volume. Now, granted, Aaron Jones really hasn't had a lot of volume, but I have to think the Packers are going to go back to some more of that run. I keep expecting, it's a crutch of Mike McCarthy. Things Mike McCarthy can't do: trust the run, get the ball to tight ends. Those are the two things. So will he actually give Aaron Jones a proper shot? Will they do things like screens and other short passes to disrupt the blitz? And if Aaron Jones is always there in the flat, then the blitzes almost become obsolete because the Packers are going to kill them for 8 to 9 yards a game. So what is Aaron Jones' role today or this week? I think it's going to be tough. I do think this is his toughest game. And you do know that Jones gets two very much cake matchups the next following 2 weeks. So definitely time for Jones to shine in early December. Moving on to the defense. So this defense has been, I think, really good. I know that the stats may not say it. I know that, you know, they gave up a ton on the ground last week, but I've really enjoyed this defense. And maybe it's because they're sack happy. Maybe it's because Mike Patton's actually getting something out of players like Kyler Fackrell, and the rookies are performing well. There is nothing that tells me Mike Patton is doing a bad job. In fact, I think he's doing a good job. I think sometimes he lacks the horses to really have it be a superior job. So you have Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has not had a good year. I don't think this has been the Cinderella year that the Vikings had hoped for. Vikings thought when they were going to get Kirk Cousins that they were going to be in the top elite of the Rams, Saints, and Chiefs. That is what the Vikings believe themselves to be. Instead, they are a team where if they lose today or lose on Sunday, they have a significant disadvantage against the Packers, who then will own a tiebreaker against them for the season. So they're up against it a little bit. And Kirk Cousins has not necessarily shown himself to be more than a 7-9 quarterback. I saw someone say he's the perfect 7-9 quarterback. It's very accurate. Kirk Cousins has routinely struggled. He's good for one or two fuck-ups a game, and you just wait on it. I mean, we saw Kirk Cousins at Lambeau Field, and he did pretty well. And I try to wonder what's been the difference? Because that Kirk Cousins in week 2 was awesome. Remember, that Kirk Cousins was the one they thought they were getting. So what has changed from week two to now week 12, where Kirk Cousins is sort of a mess? I don't know. I don't know that answer. It's not going to be easy for the Packers against that Vikings passing attack. So you have Adam Thielen, you have Stephon Diggs. There is some mumbles, I guess, that Kevin King might be able to come back. If Kevin King's able to come back and play Stephon Diggs for a whole game, that is a massive upgrade for the Packers. That, to me, is worth at least a point or two in the spread, or point and a half, maybe. I really do believe that that's how much Kevin King would impact the game. Jair Alexander against Adam Thielen's an awesome matchup. I'm really looking forward to that. I know it could go wrong for Jair, but to me, that's an amazing learning experience, and the Packers finally have a guy who can at least compete with Thielen. They haven't had that since Thielen sort of bursted onto the scene. He has killed the Packers in the last couple of years. So you do have all that. Kyle Rudolph really hasn't been a problem. It's amazing how much he's phased out of this offense. Kyle Rudolph, to me, is a really good player. And I don't know why Rudolph hasn't been a factor, especially with how much Kirk Cousins used his tight ends in Washington. He just seems to not want to do that here in Minnesota. Vikings have always sort of had their problems with the offensive line. Their offensive line was better last year, but it's taken a step back again this year. And they struggled a lot against the Bears. Now, granted, a lot of teams struggle with the Bears, but Kirk Cousins is one of the better quarterbacks against the blitz. That's true. But as we learn with Russell Wilson, who's the best quarterback against the blitz, I think what that stat is a little bit flawed, because I think what that shows is that they get blitzed a lot. So they have the attempts. They have more attempts than anybody else. So that's why Wilson is number one. And that's part of the reason why Cousins is number five. And I really do believe that. I think that has a lot to do with Kirk Cousins and how he does against a very big pass rush. So Packers are going to stick with the plan. They're going to rush Kirk Cousins. They're going to get in his grill. This isn't going to be something where Mike Pettine backs off and is like, well, we're not going to blitz him because he's Kirk Cousins. No, Mike Pettine will bring the noise. We'll see if Kyler Fackrell can have another sort of renaissance. I mean, he had such a big game last week. We'll see if he can do it again this week. It's not like you can expect three sacks from Kyler Fackrell every game. But it does seem like the Packers have one or two guys each game that step up. Now, you do have to replace Mike Daniels on the interior. I wrote about it, SoTapWI. As long as Kenny Clark's okay, I think they're fine. Tyler Lancaster, I actually really like. I think Tyler Lancaster's a baller. I think Montrevious Adams has shown some flashes. I'm not entirely convinced Adams is the dude. It'll be interesting to see who gets the start. I would assume it's Montrevious Adams, but I think Lancaster ends up getting more of the snaps. It'll be interesting to see the snap count from Rob Domofsky, who does that every week on Twitter. Always a good sort of that's a good move by Rob. I like seeing that. I think I'm not the only fan who enjoys seeing snap counts. As for the running attack, Minnesota hasn't really developed that. So Dalvin Cook had a big run against Detroit, but take that out, there wasn't really much going on. Latavius Murray, when Dalvin Cook's healthy, Latavius Murray is a non-factor. Vikings couldn't really get it going against the Bears. Now, granted, the Packers' run defense is not as strong, so Dalvin Cook may be able to poke a few holes in it, especially with Daniels. I wouldn't be surprised if their game plan out the box is to run the football, enforce their will a little bit, test this team without Mike Daniels, only pass when necessary, and see what happens. I think that is a real way that they could start this game, and we'll see. And if they do, I mean, the Packers will deal with it. The Packers will adjust. I'm not entirely worried. As for a prediction, I like the Packers in this game. So, and I'll tell you why. And like, I realize that it's like, okay, they haven't won on the road. They've been sort of mediocre there as well. They've lost some leads. I just don't think the Vikings are that good. I really think the Packers play into some of the weak. They can really exploit some of the weaknesses of the Vikings, most notably Kirk Cousins against pressure. I really think the Packers force a couple turnovers, and they flip this game, and they really help out Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers actually do a little bit to capitalize. I think they win this game 26-20. I think it's right around that Bears score from last week for the Vikings, and it's not close. I think Minnesota will get a last-second score and be like, oh, here comes the Vikings. But I just, when the Vikings have played better teams, and now Packers could be average, and that could be the case, but when they've played sort of this average to better teams, they've not done well. And I just can't see it today, this week, for the Vikings. I really do believe the Packers, knowing the backs against the wall, I think we will get an iconic Aaron Rodgers performance that will have us all buzzing Sunday night and into the work week, which will bound to suck with being 5 straight days. Nothing will be worse though if the Packers were to get blown out, because if they get blown out, you have 5 days of work after having basically like 2.5. Like, today is maybe one of the more mail-in days of the year. Like, you'll get some stuff done in the morning, but then in the afternoon, you're just going to kind of on easy street. When can I have my first beer? When can I go out? I know I was going to talk about Bucks, but I feel like since we're kind of on the topic, like, why don't we do a little Thanksgiving Eve? So it is Thanksgiving Eve. It is Blackout Wednesday for some people. Now, this used to be like a huge event for me. Like, this used to be such a big deal when I was out, right out of college, anywhere from like 24 to 27, like where I've definitely had some Blackout Wednesdays where I've been just absolutely mangled, like completely sheets and walking home, stumbling home from Club Tap. Shout out to Club Tap, one of my favorites in Wauwatosa. But as the years have gone on, we've grown up. You know, one of my buddies who I usually did this with, he goes to Illinois every Wednesday, so he's out of it. He's been out of the picture for the last couple of years. My other buddy, we've done some stuff, but even last year, he couldn't do it. So last year, I was like alone on Blackout Wednesday, and I had a case of beer in my car. It was a Miller Lite, and so I was just drinking beers. It was cold because it had been in my car, and obviously it's Wisconsin, so it was great. I just had the case of beer out next to my couch, and I was drinking beer, eating Chinese food, watching the Bucks play the Suns, who, and Giannis wasn't playing, nearly lost that game. Remember the Devin Booker buzzer beater? They won in overtime. I don't know. And then I just convinced myself to go out and visit my good friend Shea Ken, who's the guy at Plum tonight. If you guys are going to go out tonight, go see him at Plum Lounge. Check that out. But yeah, it's got to that point where I'm kind of too old for it, which is okay. Which is totally fine. And also, like, I have a lot of friends of mine who live in town. So it's not the same thing anymore, right? Like, when you had friends who were out of town or you just didn't see them that often, it would be this awesome night. You get hammered. You'd be hungover for Thanksgiving. I mean, I've had some Thanksgivings where I couldn't really do much until about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And it's like, Grandma, I just need you to know I got right rocks last night. And that's what I felt like, because I was like, I don't really want to get back on the train. So I've now put it out to myself that tonight is a optional night. I will basically make myself available to go out, but I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to force it. I'd rather do a podcast and write about all the different hoops that are going on tonight for Wisconsin. So like I said, there might be a podcast tomorrow. There may not be. We do have a loaded hoops night for the basketball fan in Wisconsin. You have the Bucks Blazers tonight at the Fiserv Forum. You have Marquette playing Kansas. God help my soul. That's at 6 o'clock. And then you have Wisconsin and Stanford at, I think, 1:30. So if you get off early, you can enjoy the Badgers playing the Goofy Tree, also known as the Cardinal. They are an 8.5-point favorite. So I would not recommend a Wisconsin basketball parlay today, mostly because I do not feel good about Marquette. They're an 8.5-point dog. And I'm like, why are they not at least a 12 point against Kansas? So maybe back Kansas. I don't know. All right. Take care of yourselves. Have a great Wednesday. Do not black out too much. Do not do something real dumb. Just be safe out there. And if we do not talk tomorrow, have a happy Thanksgiving. Or you don't listen, have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy all of the things about Thanksgiving. And we are thankful for your listenership. We're glad that you're here for the ride. We're excited for 2019 to already talking about how we can make this even better for you. All right. Take care of yourselves. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.